Welcome to Come Heal Yourself with Monica Goyle on OM Times Radio. Monica is a spiritual counselor and healer with a life purpose to put people in touch with their innate healing abilities, empowering them to live a life full of joy, love, peace, and abundance. Through this show, you'll learn to heal every aspect of your life by connecting to your higher self. And now your host, Monica Goyle.
Welcome, Come Heal Yourself. Let's talk about joy in dying with our guest, Dr. T. Sky, who has a master's degree in metaphysical science and PhD in philosophy and holistic counseling. And she's going to teach us and tell us about how death can bring joy and peace, not just through her degrees, but from the experience and the help she has offered to several people in need. Welcome, Dr. T. Sky.
Hello.
Very nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Great. So, Dr. T. Sky, tell us about your journey. What led you to who you are today?
My journey started I had a financial background, and one day I just woke up and realized that it just wasn't fulfilling who I was, that purpose in life. I started on a journey, and before long I started with working on my master's degree, and then eventually got my PhD, and I just love helping people heal their lives.
That's so awesome. So it was all of a sudden that you had that realization.
I did. I had been in the accounting profession for 20 years, and I woke up one day and I just was not happy with my life. It was just at a stagnant place, and it was like I wasn't helping people. And somehow in me, I went on a spiritual quest, and at the end of that spiritual quest, found my life purpose. And my life purpose is truly to help people heal their lives.
That
much
is
like
so
yours.
Wonderful. So you listened to what came up. You listened to the message. So you were really connected within yourself.
I am. And for years I had shut it off, just made a living, supported my children. I was a single mom. And I did what you have to do. And one morning I woke up, my daughter was 16 years old, my son had graduated, and I just said, there's something missing, and I could just feel it inside me. And again, once I went on that quest, it just completely changed my life.
Great. And you started with your healing and counseling career right away. Like, you started moving in that direction.
I did. I started in my counseling degree in January, quit my job in May, and full-time went to working towards my PhD.
Wow.
So I could just help people.
Great. So tell us about what led you to write the book, Joy in Dying.
The Joy in Dying came about. Again, I had done all my spiritual requests, was listening to my internal voice, was listening to my intuition. One morning I got up and I had a calling to come back to Wyoming. I had moved away from Wyoming, had a calling to come back. On the way home back to Wyoming, I found out why, and it was that my brother had been put into hospice, and he was diagnosed as, they thought he would have 48 hours to live.
Oh my God.
And so I walked into his room, and from a place of absolute love, it was a test of everything that I have learned up to this point, and it just solidified everything that I had learned. I walked into his room with love, and he was an angry alcoholic at the time. Hospice was even thinking about not letting him stay. And I asked them to give me 24 hours. And within 24 hours, I had him calmed, saying please and thank you. And this book just outlines the steps that I used to do that. And since that point, I've used those same steps on many people that were passing, and it's worked on all of them. It truly has gotten them to a point of peace with dying so that they could live. And my brother lived for 10 days instead of just two. And he really honestly lived. He said he had felt more peace in those last 6 days than his entire life.
And I mean, could you please explain, share with us what you really did that helped him?
I worked him through the steps. In the book, I go through steps of how to accept death. Absolutely. I walked in and the first thing we talked about is that you are dying. You know, and he's like, okay. And he talked about his fears of dying. And my book is much the same way. It walks you through the steps. It says, okay, accept your death, your inevitable death. And I'm talking whether your death is 6 minutes away, 6 months away, 60 years away. Accept that you are dying. Because once you accept that you're dying, you honestly can start living. It opens up the path.
I think that's the most important step.
It is, absolutely. Just acceptance that we are all going to die. And once that happens, the rest just kind of fell in place. We started working on forgiveness. He had a lot of regrets in his life. He had been an alcoholic again until the day he was put into hospice. He had lost attachments to his kids, to me, to my family. I hadn't talked to my brother for 26 years.
Wow.
When I walked into his room. So when I say I came in with love and nothing else but, and everything that I had learned up to this point, I literally did. It was the first test of all of this way of life that I've accepted.
All your knowledge and all your practice.
Absolutely. It was like, okay, here we go. This is the culmination of it all.
Wow. That's amazing. And he was able to accept and let go of all the fears.
As soon as I walked in, we talked about his death. I apologized for not having been in his life for all those years. He accepted that. He forgave me. I forgave him. And from that point on, we just talked about what was going to happen with his death. We talked about the regrets he had in his life. And I got him to forgive himself. And I think that that was the biggest step for him, is to forgive himself.
So my question to you, T, is, I mean, do you know what death is? Have you experienced something? Or where did that knowing come from that death can be something beautiful?
It came, honestly... when I walked into his room, I had no idea how I was given this. I now see it as a gift. It was a challenge at the time from the universe for me to be the one to walk him through his death. But what I realized is that was, again, a gift that was given to me so that I could honestly see that there was joy in dying. My brother, in his last 10 days, reconnected with his three children. Met his grandchildren, reconnected with all but one of my brothers and sisters. I have 72 nieces and nephews. He reconnected with most of them, and he literally created a space of love and forgiveness and healing for our whole family.
Not
just himself, but for our whole family. So when he passed, we had all experienced so much love and joy in helping him die that I'm not saying we didn't mourn, because you always have to mourn a life that's not going to be in your, you know, the person that's not going to be with you anymore. But we did not suffer. We just mourned.
Yeah. And I think the big part of him passing peacefully was all that forgiveness that happened, and all family that came together to share the love.
Absolutely, because what it did is it showed my family that what forgiveness could do in their own lives. That they could go out and forgive the people that were in their lives. mm-hmm. that they had felt that had done them wrong, because they could see how much peace it brought him when he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the forgiveness was, the acceptance was a big part, because he had to accept that he was dying and that he couldn't change his situation and that he couldn't go back and change the past, and there wasn't much of a future.
Yeah.
So he had to, the other integral part is living in the here and now, living right here.
Yeah.
And right now, where you can forgive and you can love and you can have peace and you can have calm. And he just showed my whole family that. And he left us in this space of healing.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
It was huge.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, and they look at me, you know, with a blank stare until I explain it more, that honestly, watching him die was the most amazing experience I've ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is. I've watched other people die since, and I think because he was my first one, it was just the most amazing experience that I can tell you. Compares with birthing my children and bringing life into the world. Watching him leave was the same way.
How amazing that is.
It is. And so for me to tell people, yes, there's joy in dying. It's a gift to get the chance to die instead of dying quickly. It's almost a gift to be able to have the time to clean up your past with people that are going to be left.
Surely, yeah.
You do need to for yourself to bring peace, but the peace you bring people who are left behind, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, so much grief we all experience when our loved ones pass, and so much guilt comes in.
It does, and I had that guilt. I know. I walked in, and I am walking into a man that I have not spoken to for 26 years. And to just walk in and lay my heart out on my, you know, right out and say, okay, first of all, the very first thing I got to do is apologize for not having been there with you.
We'll take a very short break.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Simone Millicent would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Come heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting with your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are and tap into that innate potential you have to transform your life and fly high. Please join me, your host Monica Goyal, every Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific. Namaste.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, Tracy.
Hello.
Hi. So on the topic of that grief and guilt that comes up when, you know, our loved ones pass away, and there is always that guilt of, you know, doing something wrong or not being able to do enough. Do you have a message to share with our listeners on that?
I think the guilt, there, of course, there's twofold to the guilt. There's the guilt for the person who's, from the person who's dying, that they didn't do everything they meant to do. So I think it's really, again, coming to acceptance for that person to accept they did the best they could with the life they had.
Mm-hmm.
And to get really present with, it really is not over, and you have no reason to feel guilt. Your life isn't even over. You're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So all the regrets you have, all the guilt you have, you can change it all. And it doesn't matter if you change it for 6 minutes, 6 hours, 6 years, 6 days. It just matters that you go forth and you live the life you've always wanted right here and right now. And for the people who are helping, or a caregiver, again, for is such in my case where I hadn't seen my brother, to just walk in and just lay it out. I am sorry that I didn't do these things. And then you forgive them, they forgive you, and you move forward.
And what about the people who don't get a chance to do that?
That's a really difficult situation. And again, my book, it doesn't deal with sudden deaths. It doesn't deal with regrets. It doesn't deal with grief, although I shouldn't say that. I've had a lot of people tell me that it's really helped them with their grief,
mm-hmm.
because they go back and go, okay, I did the best I could with the knowledge that I had at that time. And even though I may not have been able to get my loved one to that point,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have that opportunity, I did the best I could up to that point. And it really comes to accepting life as it is,
mm-hmm.
and as it showed up.
So you believe that some things are meant to be, like some things that go wrong are meant to be that way, for any lessons for all of us involved? Or, you know, there is a reason.
I think that there is always a lesson. I don't know that it had to happen that way, but the choices we made up to that point led us to this point. And so therefore, because we made those choices, now we're in this situation. What lesson can we learn from them?
And
so I don't look at things.
Yes. No,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I don't look at things as right or wrong or good or bad. I go, okay, this happened to me. What lesson was in it for me? And had I listened sooner, would have it had to have happened to me?
Mm-hmm.
So I try to really get inside all the time and listen to that voice. And that's one thing I teach my people.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the voice inside you. It's there. It's telling you when to turn left, when to turn right. And yes, I do think sometimes you turn left and there's a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And that lesson may look like a bad thing.
Yeah.
If you want to call it bad or good, and it might, but it's always a lesson. There's always a lesson in it. So yeah, I do think it always happens to teach us something in our life, to
yeah.
prepare us for something later on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, like you said, whatever our consciousness level was at that point, that,
absolutely.
You know, acted in a certain way. But now that we realize that, I really feel that, you know, at that moment, that starts to get undone, because it's nothing like, you know, though that was a mistake, and realizing that should just take off that guilt or that burden, because there is always a chance to make it right with someone else.
Absolutely. And that mistake may have taught you something that is going to save you so much heartache down the line.
Mm-hmm. And help other people who are in
absolutely.
A similar situation, just like you do.
Yep, absolutely.
That's-
and there are things that I would call that I did in the past. At the time, I would have called them a mistake. And I look at them now and go, wait a minute, if I hadn't done that 3 years ago, I wouldn't be able to help this person right here that's standing in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that has done this same thing, or that's about to do the same thing. I wouldn't be able to help them see what they need to see. So even the things that I look at in the past that I thought were mistakes, were really all learning lessons.
That's great. So on the cover of your book, you talk about shifting in your life. What does that mean?
Shifting is exactly what I said. When I walked into my brother's room, we apologized, we forgave, and literally this man went from a raging, screaming at the nurses, telling them they were killing him, all these things, to he shifted with that love. He came to that place of love with me because it's very hard. Love is a very powerful thing. So it's very hard to fight against that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was able to stay in that place of love with him, he shifted his whole mindset. And he started saying, please and thank you. And it was as simple as the shift that I created for him was, the nurses are trying to kill me with this medicine. And I looked at him straight in the eye and I said, Neil, the medicine is not going to kill you. Cancer is.
Mm-hmm.
It was a shift that it struck him like, oh yeah, and I'm being so mean to everybody when they didn't give me cancer. I got cancer and now I have to deal with it. So the shift is, my whole life has shifted. Again, on my spiritual quest, I had this shift that my whole perspective changed and it literally switched. It shifted to a whole different dimension. And I think that when you come to that place of love, when you truly come to that place of love, there's no way to not shift.
Wow.
The level of acceptance, when you come to accept, when you literally say, I'm going to die, and you can say that and it doesn't scare you and there's no fear attached to it,
mm-hmm.
that's a shift. That is, I shifted my whole realm of mm-hmm. possibility mm-hmm. to, I can live now because I don't have to fear dying.
Wow. That's so big. You know, it's hard to imagine that shift happening.
And it is. And to this day, I look back, I have never had anybody shift as fast as my brother did. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. I don't know how that came about. I know I went through the steps, but I've gone through the steps with other people, and it's taken weeks for them to shift. And somehow, in the very short time he had to live, he shifted so quickly. It was like the magic just happened, and all the shifts happened so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But it truly came from the very first moment when I said, you are dying. Let's talk about that. And when he was able to accept that, it truly changed his life.
Yeah.
And he was able to live. And I think my book, when you go through the steps,
mm-hmm.
if you can complete each step, and I put them in the order that they came in, not because they have to be done in that order, but it seems to work that way mm-hmm. in most cases. But if you go through the steps, I know it creates a shift in your life. I know that accepting your death alone creates a shift in your life. I know that forgiveness creates a shift in your life.
Totally. So what do you mean by acceptance? Like, how do we accept? It's a big word.
It is a big word. I look at death. Nobody gets out of life alive. The minute you take your first breath, you're taking the breath towards your last breath. It's true. It just like birthing is a natural, normal, wonderful process. And we make it wonderful and amazing. And what if we did that same thing with death? What if we find out we're dying and we make it the same as birthing? What if we put joy into it? What if we use it as a time to create a new life? What if we a life, and our life is going to be new when that person is gone. It's a completely new life that we have to create. And if we could create that while they're still here, and so then we can just smoothly transition once they transition into our new life, how amazing is that? How amazing is it to just heal all that is out there through the forgiveness and the acceptance? Acceptance of death, I'm not saying it's an easy thing, is a very difficult thing. It was something that was, I feared death just like other people did. But I will tell you that once I watched my brother, and regardless whether you believe there's an afterlife, whether you believe in heaven, whether you believe in hell, whether you believe that your energy goes out into space, that part doesn't matter. It in the acceptance of death, it's just that whatever you believe is going to happen, happens. So accept that as a natural part of life. It's as natural as breathing. Our death is as natural as breathing. It's going to happen. We're going to eat. We're going to sleep. We're going to drink. And we're going to die.
It sounds natural.
It's that natural. It's that. And if you can get it to that point where it's that calm, then you've accepted death. And you've found the joy in dying. And again, I think for me, my book was initially written for people who were terminally ill. And then I realized very quickly, as I worked with other people in my healing work, that death comes in many forms. You have a death of a marriage.
Yes.
Death of a career. Death of a way of life. Death of, say you become paralyzed and all of a sudden you have a death of that old life. So death comes in many forms. So if we can just accept the death when it comes, and then see how it can enhance our life.
Yes. Yes, so true. And we will continue our discussion after a short break.
Okay.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she is feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
We are back. Tracy, we were talking about any kind of loss. Any kind of loss. And it's so hard. I mean, it's not just physically losing a person forever that is hard. But like you said, death of a marriage, death of career, any you know, any big change, any big loss in life, we go through that same experience.
Absolutely. And we were talking about how to accept that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to my book and read this very small section on how acceptance works.
Wonderful.
I start into that. I've said that I'm going to push you farther than you maybe have been pushed before. And I know that for many of us, the thought of death can cause complete anxiety, but truly it cannot be avoided. It is our human reality. Eventually, we are all going to suffer death of some kind. We are going to die. Now sit with that for a moment. Try to wrap your mind around the idea. Just let the thought settle in. Feel yourself releasing any judgment about the fact. Just embrace that it is true. You will eventually die. As you sit in the quiet with this idea, feel your body begin to relax. Feel the unease lifting from your mind. Let the idea rest. Just accept that it is going to happen. Notice that once you accept this as a reality, the anxiety associated with it begins to lighten. And then spend some quiet time each day just sitting with this idea that you are dying. Continue this daily meditation until you have, for the most part, eliminated any anxiety related to the fact that you are dying. And that's the best way that I can explain mm-hmm. how to accept your death.
Beautiful.
How to accept dying.
Thanks for sharing, Tracy.
And I truly think that if you just take the moments, take the time, and I have many places in my book that do exactly that. Just sit with the idea, and then I literally tell you how it should feel. How you should feel when you forgive. Forgiveness is not the words of I forgive, because mm-hmm. we don't say that. But what happens when you truly do the act of forgiveness, you truly, truly forgive,
mm-hmm.
you can feel the calm and peace come over your body. When you accept your death and just realize it is human reality that we are going to lose this body that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it doesn't matter what you believe happens to it afterwards. What's going to happen in this human reality
yeah.
is at some point the energy is going to leave this body, this physical being that you have right now, and you are going to go to whatever happens after that. But it is going to end in this body.
Mm-hmm.
And to just become at peace with that and let that settle in and let it calm you and let yourself relax into that. And again, if you can do that daily meditation, five mm-hmm. minutes a day, just sit with the idea that you're going to die. Until mm-hmm. honestly, when you say it, if you're as calm as I am about it, I am going to die. Someday.
Someday, yeah.
It may happen today. It may happen
yeah.
tomorrow. It might happen 5 minutes from now.
Right.
It's going to happen. And then what that opens you up into is you no longer have to fear living. Because no matter how you live, whether you live good, bad, or indifferent, at some point you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So it just opens up the possibilities in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you explain further how forgiveness helps a person move forward in life?
Forgiveness holds us in the past. If we are holding a resentment against somebody, that happened in the past. And we cannot live in the past. We can't change that. We can't fix it. We can't do anything about it. So in order to move forward, we have to forgive that. We have to let go of that energy. We have to forgive it. We have to give ourselves the gift of forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this so many times to so many people. Forgiving is not condoning. It's not accepting what the person did.
Mm-hmm.
It's just saying, this happened to me, and I'm no longer going to let it have any control over my future or my present. I'm just going to release all feelings towards it, and I'm going to allow that person to move out of my energy by saying, I forgive it. I'm no longer going to let them have control over my life.
Yeah.
So you can't move forward if you're living in the past. And mm-hmm. holding on to resentment, you're living in the past.
Yeah. And I mean, it's you who's suffering. Like you said, having other person control you, having control over your life, your feelings, your emotions.
Absolutely. And I had a person recently read my book, and she said, page 40 alone mm-hmm. can change your life. And page 40 is entirely about forgiving.
Forgiveness, yes.
It is totally about forgiving. It's, you know, I can give you an example of how I look as the gift. I give myself a gift when I forgive. I do mm-hmm. not, it really doesn't affect the other person.
Right. You know?
I forgive myself for feeling hate, for I give myself and others love. I forgive myself for feeling angry, for I give myself the ability to feel joy. You are giving yourself a gift every time you let go of a resentment to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And you cannot move forward in life unless you let those resentment go. You just live in the past.
Right.
In a past of regret that you can't change. And the biggest thing, I think, honestly, I think we're better at forgiving other people. What I have found in my experience is the person you're not forgiving is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the piece that most people miss. They forgive all the people that they felt have hurt them, but they don't forgive themselves.
So true.
And when they forgive themselves, they completely move forward in life.
So that's the hard one.
Yes. Very hard.
So explain to us how to do that.
Okay. I forgive myself for feeling, if somebody hurts my feelings,
mm-hmm.
okay, I have to forgive them for hurting my feelings.
Yes.
But the step that we forget to go forward with is, okay, we forgave them. Okay, that's great. But somewhere in ourselves, anytime we hold a resentment against somebody, we have something to forgive ourselves for.
Mm-hmm.
That instance right there, okay, so my brother hurt my feelings, and I let them get hurt. And okay, I went to him, we resolved it, and he apologized, and I forgave him. But what I have to do is I have to forgive myself for allowing that to hurt my feelings. I have to forgive myself for holding in a resentment against him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, that's when it really happens. That's when the peace and calm really comes forward. But we forget that part. We normally forgive the person and think it's all cleaned up, mm-hmm. but we never forgave ourselves for letting it hurt us in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that that is key for most people. They don't forgive themselves for making the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
They don't forgive themselves for saying something mean to somebody. Like, for instance, if I said something mean to somebody and then I went back and apologized to them and they forgave me, that's great, but I have to forgive myself for saying it in the first place. And so many of us don't even consciously think of that.
Yes.
I don't think that it's not even that we're not willing to forgive ourselves. I just think we don't consciously even think, oh, wait a minute, I have something to forgive myself for in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say 100% of the time, if we are having forgiveness issues with somebody outside of our being, we have something to forgive inside our being.
That's so true.
And that's my key, is getting yourself inside your being and realizing that it's inside of us that is causing the problem. It's really nothing outside of us that's causing the issue. So if we can get in there and say, wait a minute, I forgave her, but did I forgive myself for that?
Mm-hmm.
And just try to keep it very conscious in your level of thought, because I do think we're pretty good about forgiving other people, but I don't think we're so good about forgiving ourselves.
And it will keep happening until we learn how to forgive our own selves. Like you said, it's all internal. That's projection.
It is, and that's where regret comes from, because we haven't forgiven ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Regret doesn't come outside of us. It only comes inside of us. Regret of not forgiving ourselves, not living a life that we should have lived, not being the person that we felt like we should be.
Right.
Forgive ourselves. We did the best we could.
Yes. So tell us, Tracy, what do you mean when you say being love and that love is all we need?
You can love somebody. I loved my brother when I walked into his room, mm-hmm. but loving somebody would not have kept me in that place of, it's just the higher vibrational energy. I could not have stayed in that place of loving him when he was screaming and yelling at me. He's screaming and yelling at the nurses. But I, in that state, I was being love. I was everything that love is. Mm-hmm. You can be angry and still be love.
Yes.
And love is present, but it's the state of being love with no expectation of getting anything in return.
And no judgments.
Exactly. You mm-hmm. just walk in and I'm going to be this space of love. I'm going to be the energy of love because it's such a high vibration. Mm-hmm. And it literally is, no matter what happens, I'm still going to be love. And there are times that I had to walk out of the room to get back to that state. I did. I'm by no means perfect. But what I try to do is when mm-hmm. I'm feeling anything that's not love, I try to get it out of there, especially in a situation of confrontation. Because even if I'm in a confrontational situation, if I'm being love, if I'm just being that energy, I'm just in that state of mind. I expect nothing in return. Mm-hmm. It's not contingent on how somebody's acting. I'm just being love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's much different than I love something. Mm-hmm. I love many things. I love cheesecake, but I'm not being in love with cheesecake, and I'm not being cheesecake. Being love is just mm-hmm. being at that vibration that says, no matter what happens, I love.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you yourselves are at, you know, deep peace. There is that stillness.
Yes.
That's beautiful. I think that's a very good reminder for all of us. Thank you. And we will take a short break here and be right back.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Live with medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
So we were talking about love, being in love, without any conditions, without any judgment, any expectations attached. And that's when the real peace begins, and that's the kind of energy we give out, emit, and help others be at peace and in love. So, Tracy, tell us, why should we live like we are dying?
If you live like you are dying, you actually open up the possibilities to anything that will come into your life. If you go through the steps again of acceptance, forgiveness, and living in the here and now, which is what it is like to accept death. Once you accept death, then you have all those possibilities open up for you. And you can create whatever life you want because you've let go of all the regrets and the limiting beliefs that I can't be anything that I've other than what I've been. Mm-hmm. And what I can tell you is my brother in his life lived a very, again, he lived an alcoholic, abusive life. Mm-hmm. And then he went through all these steps and he learned to accept his death. And he lived like he was dying because he, in fact, was dying in a very short period of time. But we're all dying again. It's mm-hmm. just some of us have a lot longer expiration date than others. But we are all dying. But if once he started living like he was dying, he forgave easily. He didn't hold on to resentments. Mm-hmm. He accepted his death. He lived in the here and now. And he created loving relationships with all three of his children, which he had never had any success in. He had adult children. Mm-hmm. They were 23, 27, and 30. So he was able to build relationships with them because he lived like he was dying. And if we live like we're dying, we open up our life to every possibility that's out there for us because we don't have to fear death anymore.
Mm-hmm. How true that is. Yeah. And also, I mean, if we live like that, we don't want to waste any moment holding on to that unforgiveness, resentment.
Absolutely. I said this in my book as well. If it was your last moment, would you hold on resentment and would you withhold forgiveness? I don't think you would. So why not do that way before it's your last moment? Mm-hmm. Why don't you live like you're dying right now and look at life like I'm dying. I need to forgive right here, mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who knows? Next moment could be ours. So
it could. It puts you in the level of urgency to forgive, mm-hmm. to live in the here and now, to make a life that you are proud of, that you're excited about, that you don't have any, that you don't have the regrets for.
Mm-hmm. How beautiful that is. So, Tracy, I know we all can connect with you on Twitter, and your ID is TSkyPhD. Facebook, you have a Facebook page for The Joy in Dying, your book. But when is the book coming?
The book is already out and you can buy it at Amazon.
It is available at Amazon.
Yes, it is. It's available in ebook, soft and hardback, and also at Balboa Press. You can buy it off of balboapress.com as well.
Okay, great. And I mean, so you are still helping people with the live sessions, the steps that book has?
Absolutely. And that's where I do most of my promotion is at hospice centers. Mm-hmm. Is that I wrote the book to be a very quick read so that people who are passing away can read it quickly. I know that they don't have a lot of time to devote to reading a book. So it's a very short, wonderful, precise book.
It is. Yes. And I mean, it is for everyone. It's not just for helping.
It is for everyone.
It is for everyone. Just like you said, we never know.
And also, there are so many different kinds of deaths. And all you have to do is change the word to losing a life, to losing a job, losing a marriage, mm-hmm. whatever kind of death you're suffering, mm-hmm. death of a way of life.
Yeah.
It will help in all those areas. And if you learn to live like you're dying, the book the book was intentionally started for people who were terminally ill, and it took a very short time for me to realize it's for everybody. Everybody needs to live like this so that they can have a joyous life.
Mm-hmm. So true. Perfect. So, Tracy, any message you have for our listeners that can help them, give them some tools?
The thing that I would really like to do is, my brother died exactly like we've discussed for the last hour. My father, I helped my father pass away 7 years before my brother and long before I learned to be metaphysical. Mm-hmm. So, and his death was much different. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to read how his death went in my from my book so that you can see the difference between how he died and how my brother died.
Right.
So I'm going to start with, this is after we've found out that my father is dying. Mm-hmm. As a young girl, I remember tagging along with my dad on his daily chores and pitching in wherever I could. Throughout my life, he was my confidant and friend. We spent hours talking politics, religion, life, boyfriends, kids, current events, and any other subject that happened to come to us. As a child, I was inseparable from him. He was my strength and my rock in times of struggle. So when he was diagnosed with lung cancer, it felt like one of my vital organs was being ripped from me. I couldn't imagine life without him. How could I possibly exist without this extraordinary man? I know most people who have lost a loved one can relate to this feeling. We begin with that thought, no way can they die. Mm-hmm. Fear grips us to the core of everything we are, and we immediately begin to deny the inevitable, knowing that somehow there will be some miracle and our loved one will live. My father's death story was no different. He immediately started taking radiation and became very ill and fragile. He lost his cognitive skills during this treatment, but he fought for every bit of life he could get. He had little energy to function in his daily life, and this man who used to work 15 hours a day could barely find the energy to make it to his radiation treatments. He continued to take the treatments, believing they would actually make him better so he would not pass away. The small, precious amount of time left in his life was spent hoping and praying for a miracle, but the miracle didn't come. He became weaker and weaker. He soon expressed to the doctors that he was ready to stop treatments and that he could tell his passing was inevitable. This information was never verbalized to any one of us in the family, however. In retrospect, I wonder if he felt we would have viewed him as a quitter. And sadly, I must confess, we may have. Our own fear of living without him would probably have clouded our view, and we would have begged him to continue fighting. As it was, the doctors had extended his radiation far longer than needed, because they were waiting for him to accept his death. This caused a great deal of damage, and his end of his life was riddled with many extra complications. As I write these words, tears well in my eyes, thinking of the great fight that he endured just so his little girl wouldn't lose her daddy, her confidant, her rock, so his family wouldn't lose the glue that held them all together and repaired all their wounds, so his wife wouldn't lose the love of her life. And through all this, my dad lived such an amazing life, and yet in his death, he struggled so hard. And if I had known what I knew then, mm-hmm. if I'd known then what I know now, I think of what his life could have been. Could he have heard the words that we were telling him? Could he have heard it when we said, you were a great man. We loved you. You did a great job. You were the most amazing, beautiful human being the earth has ever had. I feel like if people can go through the steps that I'm teaching in this book, mm-hmm. that they can change that fighting to stay alive to actually living their last days. I think that my dad would have stopped the treatments way sooner. Had he been able to forgive himself, had he been able to do all the things, accept his death, work through the forgiveness, live in the here and now, I think he would have not taken the radiation for as long as he did. And I think that he actually would have lived those final days. And my brother, who lived a horrific life filled with frustration and anger, lived his final days in absolute peace. And what I hope will happen with this book is that if you go through the steps, even though my dad's passing was beautiful in its own way too, he couldn't hear when we said, you were an amazing man. because you had so much regret and pain and lack of forgiveness that was out there that he couldn't hear it. And yet when my brother who lived, and my father was an amazing, peaceful man. He lived such an amazing life. And yet my brother who lived this angry and frustrating life died hearing us when we said, "You're amazing. You're wonderful." He created an amazing place for us to heal after his death.
Wow.
And I hope that my book will do that.
And we really, really know it will do that. And we are so grateful, Tracy. Thank you so much for sharing with us all your experiences, your knowledge, and help create this peace and joy in dying. So grateful, so honored to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much. And again, I just hope that if those that are listening, for those who need my voice, for those that need my words, that they'll pick up the phone, they'll order their book, they'll get on the computer, they'll go to Amazon and order it. Help themselves.
Thank you once again. Thank you all our listeners. Thank you friends for joining us today. And we will meet again. Until then, have a blissful life. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Monica.
Thanks, Tracy.